Welcome back to Mugside, the Opaka Coffee Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Hope. Today, we're diving deep into the heart of coffee's story, to its original birthplace, Africa.
Africa truly is coffee's cradle. It's incredible to think about the journey coffee has made from the Ethiopian highlands to the global obsession we have today. Ethiopia is not only significant historically, but culturally. Coffee ceremonies there are a powerful tradition.
Absolutely. Picture this. Families gathered around a small charcoal stove, roasting green coffee beans, grinding them by hand, then brewing the coffee slowly. The aroma fills the entire home, creating an experience that's as communal as it is spiritual. Exactly. Ethiopian coffee ceremonies reflect values of hospitality and respect. Sharing coffee is an act of friendship, often performed multiple times a day. It's fascinating how something so simple yet profound has traveled through generations. And from Ethiopia, coffee spread throughout Africa.
And that journey wasn't just geographic, it was transformational. As coffee moved across borders and generations, it picked up stories, rituals, and meaning. The African continent didn't just passively host coffee. It actively shaped what coffee became. Every region it touched offered something different, a way of preparing it, a philosophy about sharing it, a place it held in daily life.
And, you know, it's easy to romanticize Africa's role in coffee history, but what I think often gets missed is the resilience and innovation African communities brought to the table. Coffee in Africa evolved not in labs or factories, but through hands-on collective knowledge, through trial, tradition, and stewardship. That's what makes African coffee so powerful, not just in the cup, but in the legacy it carries.
And even today, when we talk about African coffee, we're talking about diversity, not just of flavor, but of approach. You've got places like Ethiopia, where coffee ceremonies are social and slow. And then you've got Kenya's auction system, which introduced an entirely different layer of precision and value to the global market. Africa gave us coffee, but it also gave us a spectrum of how to value it.
And it's that spectrum, that cultural richness, that's inspired us again and again at Opaka. When we drink African coffees, we're not just tasting fruit forward or floral profiles, we're honoring centuries of identity. That's something we think about in every cup we offer.
It's worth really sitting with that. Africa isn't just where coffee began. It's where coffee became culture. You can trace the entire legacy of coffee's global journey back to Ethiopia's wild coffee forests. And what's remarkable is that even today, those same forests still grow coffee trees. That original biodiversity is alive and well.
Right? And there's something really grounding in that. The idea that your daily cup has a direct lineage back to Africa's soil, to ancient cultivation methods, to storytelling passed down through generations. Africa gave coffee to the world, but it also held onto something we've lost in many places, ritual. You feel that especially in the way coffee is grown, brewed, and shared in so many African regions.
Exactly. Coffees from Africa, especially East Africa, have this incredible diversity of flavor. You get florals, bright citrus, stone fruits, berries, and so much nuance. That's thanks to everything from the genetic diversity of native Arabica strains to the care that farmers put into harvesting and processing.
And the processing methods themselves are part of the artistry. In Kenya, for example, the washed process is handled with such precision. In Ethiopia, you get natural processing that results in these wild, jammy flavors. Each region has its own fingerprint. It's why Africa remains the standard for specialty coffee lovers. Whether it's a fruit-forward Ethiopian Yirgacheffe or a vibrant Kenyan AA, the sensory range is mind-blowing. And these coffees aren't just complex. They tell a story of land, labor, and legacy. Each region developed unique coffee cultures, including Kenya, which brings us to our spotlight today, Gititu, Farmers Cooperative.
Yes, Gititu isn't just another coffee farm. It's a community-driven cooperative. Founded in the early 1970s, Gititu is one of Kenya's oldest coffee cooperatives, emphasizing sustainability and fair trade.
What strikes me most about Gititu is their dedication to their community. Over 500 families rely on this cooperative for their livelihoods. Gititu focuses not just on profits, but on building a sustainable future for all.
That community-centric approach is critical in coffee cultivation. And speaking of cultivation, Gititu's location plays a huge role in their coffee quality. Kiambu County, nestled in Kenya's highlands, is perfect coffee territory. High altitudes, volcanic soils, and ideal weather.
High altitudes in coffee-growing regions slow down the ripening process, allowing beans to develop complex sugars and flavors. And volcanic soil, rich in nutrients, enhances the coffee's vibrancy and complexity.
Let's zoom in a little more on Gititu's geography, because it's more than just pretty scenery. It's a game changer for cultivation. Gititu sits in Kiambu County, part of Kenya's central highlands, at elevations between 1,800 and 2,000 meters above sea level. That kind of altitude provides cool nights and warm days, which helps develop more sugars in the coffee cherry and slows down maturation. That's where that rich, bright acidity comes from.
Exactly. And Kiambu is known for its red volcanic soil, which is incredibly fertile. That means nutrient-dense conditions for the coffee plants, encouraging healthy trees, deep root systems, and vibrant flavor development in the beans. Plus, there's consistent rainfall and predictable weather, something farmers depend on to plan their harvests.
And let's not forget the surrounding ecosystem. Gititu is close to the Aberdare Range and benefits from its natural biodiversity. Shade trees, intercropping with bananas and avocados, even native bird populations. All of these play a part in the coffee's terroir. It's a microclimate that's hard to replicate.
I spoke to one of the agronomists working with Gititu last year, and he told me they've been focusing a lot on soil health, natural composting, minimal chemical input, even experimenting with cover crops. It's amazing to see how traditional wisdom and modern sustainability efforts are working hand in hand.
That's the magic of Gititu. It's not just about where it's grown, but how. Every decision the farmers make, from pruning schedules to fermentation techniques, is dialed in to respect the land and coax the most out of every harvest. The Gititu Gold, Opaka's premium Kenya AA coffee, is a perfect example. It has these distinct tasting notes: green apple acidity, peach sweetness, and vanilla smoothness. Every sip tells the story of its unique environment.
What I love about Gititu Gold is how accessible it is for both new coffee drinkers and experienced tasters. We sourced it not just because of its excellence in the cup, but because of the story it tells. From the highlands of Kiambu to your kitchen counter, it's a bridge between worlds. Our intention was to bring our community something bright, clean, and layered, something that felt alive on the palate. And we wanted it to be a sensory guide, a starting point for people to learn how to taste, how to notice, how to connect.
Yes, that's why we say Gititu Gold isn't just a coffee. It's a conversation starter. If you're just starting your journey into specialty coffee, this is the perfect companion. It has clarity. When we say green apple acidity, we mean that crisp, tart, refreshing sharpness you get when biting into a just ripe Granny Smith. The peach comes through in the body, juicy, round, a bit floral. And the vanilla, that's what smooths it all out, tying it together into this silky, balanced finish.
One of my favorite brewing methods for a Gititu Gold is the Chemex. It really brings out the high notes, the brightness, the aroma. And because the paper filter is thick, you get this extra clean cup that lets the acidity sing without distraction. But it's also incredible in a V60 if you like something a little more dynamic and quicker to brew.
And I've even done it as an iced pour over. Let me tell you, that green apple brightness with a few ice cubes. Game changer on a hot day. The flavors stay crisp, not watered down. You get that sparkle on your tongue with each sip.
We always encourage customers to slow down and engage their senses when drinking Gitiru Gold. Smell the ground coffee first. Close your eyes. Can you catch a whiff of stone fruit? Maybe a hint of citrus? As it brews, listen to the drip, the little bloom of aroma rising in steam. Then take your first sip in two parts. First a slurp to aerate it, and then a slower second taste to feel the texture.
It's like building a flavor memory. The more you notice, the easier it becomes to identify what you enjoy. And that's the goal, really, to help people build a vocabulary around what they taste and feel. Because when you can name it, you can chase it.
And Gitiru Gold is a great benchmark for that. It's structured but expressive, balanced but not boring, and always, always satisfying. Speaking of environments, Kenyan coffee culture has its own unique rituals. Let's dive deeper into Kahawa Chungu, a traditional ceremonial coffee.
Kahawa Chungu literally means bitter coffee. It's traditionally brewed with spices like cardamom and cinnamon, boiled over an open flame. It's both a social and symbolic ritual, often marking community gatherings and special occasions.
I've tasted Kahawa Chungu, and the experience is unforgettable. It's robust, aromatic, and intensely communal. People pass around small cups, sharing stories and bonding. It's powerful seeing how coffee brings communities together. Actually, let me tell you where I experienced it for the first time. I was in Mombasa a few years back visiting a local artist I had met through a friend. We were walking through Old Town, and the scent of cardamom and cinnamon pulled us into this tiny cafe tucked between two colorful colonial buildings. Inside, a few elders were seated on wooden benches, speaking Swahili and laughing softly. One of them motioned for us to join. We were handed small ceramic cups, delicate and slightly chipped, each one different. The host poured us this dark, steaming liquid from a well-worn brass kettle. It was Kahawa Chungu. The spices hit first, then the bitterness, and finally a subtle sweetness as the flavor settled. No sugar, no milk. Just the raw, deep taste of coffee infused with centuries of ritual. I remember sitting there for what felt like hours, just talking, listening, and sipping. It wasn't about caffeine, it was about connection. That moment really shifted how I think about coffee. It's not just a beverage, it's an invitation.
Wow. Hope. That story gave me chills. There's something so powerful about being welcomed into a moment like that. It's not just about the drink. It's about being invited into someone's way of life. I can almost smell the cinnamon and cardamom just hearing you describe it. And that idea, that coffee is an invitation, really sticks with me. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the technical aspects, grind size, brew time, temperature, that we forget this is a human ritual. Your story reminded me that some of the most meaningful cups aren't measured by extraction yield. They're measured by memory. Kenya also has a vibrant everyday coffee culture. You see vendors on street corners selling strong, sweet coffee served with milk. It's quick, affordable, and an integral part of daily life.
Exactly. This street coffee culture demonstrates how deeply coffee is embedded in Kenya's social fabric, accessible and enjoyed by everyone.
Now, when we talk about enjoying coffee, let's explore Gitiru Gold's tasting profile and our favorite brewing methods.
Gitiru Gold is special because of its versatility. For me, a pour-over highlights its green apple acidity, revealing a sweet, peachy undertone. It's vibrant, fresh, and perfect for slow sipping. And I love brewing Gitiru Gold in a French press. The method brings out that smooth vanilla note and creates a rich, velvety texture. It's comforting, yet sophisticated. Experimenting with brewing methods is key. It's fascinating how different brewing styles highlight different aspects of the same coffee.
Exactly. Part of our mission at Opaka is to guide listeners to discover their perfect cup, transforming coffee from a daily routine into a meaningful sensory experience.
And that mission goes beyond flavor. It's about presence. We want people to approach coffee like they would a work of art or a favorite piece of music, something that deserves attention and curiosity. That's why everything we do at Opaka, from sourcing microlots to creating brew guides, is about helping people explore what coffee can mean to them. It's sensory, emotional, and even meditative.
That's the reason we're so intentional with our coffee selections. Each offering is curated not just for its taste, but for the story it carries. We want people to feel connected to the farmer, the land, the culture. It's why we spend time understanding the communities behind each origin. When you sip a cup of Opaka coffee, you're tasting more than flavor. You're tasting the result of care, craftsmanship, and culture.
And part of that experience is education. That's why we include guides, pairings. We're here to make specialty coffee feel less intimidating and more like an adventure. You don't have to be a pro to taste like one. You just need to be curious. We also believe that daily rituals, especially ones around coffee, can become anchors. They ground us, give us rhythm, and even reset our mindset. That's the transformation we're talking about. Not just how you drink coffee, but how you live around it.
And with coffees like Getitu Gold, we hope to encourage that shift. From morning autopilot to intentional moment, from utility to celebration, from grab and go to sip and stay. That's what Opaka is all about.
Absolutely, James. And I encourage everyone listening to embrace the Kenyan tradition of intentionality. Slow down, savor each step, and fully engage your senses.
That intentionality enhances every aspect of your coffee journey. Every aroma, every flavor note becomes more vivid and meaningful.
And this extends beyond personal rituals into communal experiences. Like Getitu, coffee creates community connections. When you share a carefully brewed cup, you're sharing culture, history, and friendship.
Beautifully said. Coffee truly bridges distances, connecting us to communities around the globe. Through each cup, we honor farmers, traditions, and the rich legacy of coffee.
As we wrap up, remember next week we'll explore coffee rituals around the globe, discovering more rich traditions and incredible stories.
Thanks for joining us today on Mugside. Brew intentionally, savor deeply, and until next time, enjoy your coffee journey.